So, good morning again, and on behalf of the National Council of La Raza, I'm very pleased to present on a topic that is near and dear to my heart. I say that it's near and dear in my heart because it's about young children, and it's not because I was once a young Latino child myself, but because I have a young Latino daughter who is 2 years old. So when I first got into this work, it was because I was actually pregnant, and I became very committed to wanting to see and make sure that the world that my daughter was coming into was going to be a better world, but more importantly, that her life was going to be tied to the nearly 9 million other young Latino children that were in the country at that time, that no matter whatever advantages she might have had being born to myself and my husband, that her life still was tied to them. So I do want to give thanks to our funder on this project. The Alliance for Early Success funded the work that I'm about to present on. They were formerly known as the Birth to Five Policy Alliance, but now they focus on children birth to eight. So for my next about 15 minutes or so, I'm going to hit on four topics. The first is, why is this topic important? I think it's a good way to sort of level set for everyone. And then give a portrait on young Latino children. When I say young Latino children, I'm talking birth to 8 years old. When I say children, I'm referring to 0 to 17. So I kind of want to make that delineation up front. Then some of the challenges affecting young Latino children, and all of this data is in the back on a brief that's been printed, so you can have access to that in the back, as well as information on where I got this data from and how to use that database. I'll talk about that a little bit in the resources. And then finally, touch briefly upon some of the policies that can make a difference for young Latino children. So why are Latino children important? And again, talking about the larger child population. The Latino child population is growing dramatically. So I'm going to let the numbers tell the story. Latino children are the fastest growing segment of the U.S. child population. Latino children under the age of 18 represented over 23% of all children under the age of 18 in this country. And by 2030, they're projected to be nearly a third of all kids. So just sort of look at that. From 1990 to 2010, how much the Latino community has grown. It's nearly doubled. And that is going to continue if all projections continue as they are. And the thing to know is that this is not due to immigration. This is due to birth to Latina women here in the U.S. So contrary to what people say, these are kids that are born here, raised here, and as are American as apple pie, as we like to say. So I want to look at the growth rate of the child population, both of 0 to 17 and 0 to 8 years old. It's important to look at the child distribution in conjunction with the growth rate. So when you look at the growth rate for the nation's child population overall, from 2000 to 2011, it was 2.2%. But when you look at the Latino child population, again, 0 to 17, it was 40.4% over that same time period. When you look at the growth rate for the younger children, 0 to 8, it mirrors those numbers. So it was 2.9% for all children, and then it was 37.2% for young Latino children. But compare that to the growth rate for white children and for black children. It was negative 11% for white children and negative 5% for black children. So why is that important? It's important because without the growth of the Latino child population, the U.S. child population would have experienced negative growth. And that's important because we hear about countries like Japan and Europe who they just don't have enough children. So we would have been in that same boat had it not been for the growth of the Latino child population. So again, why is that important? It's because Latino children are America's future, and that's my daughter. That was last year, but I had to include her in there. So today's Latino children are critical to our nation's economic and political future. By 2018, they're going to represent 18% of the American workforce. That's just, what, 5 years away? In 5 years, Latinos are going to represent 18%. Those numbers are going to continue to go up as these younger children continue to age and go into the workforce. So it's incumbent upon us to make sure that they have the opportunities to get a good education, to be able to succeed, because ultimately they are the ones that are going to support and balance out the baby boom generation, all of those individuals that are going to be relying on Social Security and Medicare. These are the individuals that are going to be paying taxes to support that. So now I'm going to go into some of the statistics around young Latino children. I noted earlier that for children 0 to 17, they're nearly 24% of all children are Latino. But when you look at young Latino children, slightly over 25% of all 0 to 8-year-olds are Latino. So a much, a bigger number by almost 2 percentage points if you have the exact numbers. So they're a quarter of all American children. If you look at children under the age of 1, from 2000 to 2011, they were over 26% of all children born in the country during that year, from July 1st, 2010 to July 1st, 2011. So again, that number continues to tick up. And as I noted earlier, contrary to what many will have you believe, these are American children. So nearly 97% of all children ages 0 to 8 are U.S. citizens. Compare that to 0 to 17, a little more than 92% of all 0 to 17-year-olds, Latino 0 to 17-year-olds are Latino. Again, it's not nearly as high as it is for the other groups, but when you start looking at children 0 to 2, from birth to 2 years old, that number for Latino children jumps up to 99%. So we're just about equal with all the other racial and ethnic groups. So these are some of the barriers that young Latino children face. Nearly a third of all young Latino children live in poverty. Although they don't have the highest poverty rate of all racial and ethnic groups, they do represent the largest share of young children in poverty, as you can see by the table. 36% there, Latino children 0 to 8 are 36% of all poor children, of all 0 to 8-year-olds. And so we know that poverty is very much interrelated to a lot of the issues that our children face, that Latino children and all children face generally. We know that if we can reduce poverty in childhood, we can reduce many harmful and long-lasting effects that poverty can have. We know that children that are born into poverty are likelier to be poor as adults, not graduate from high school, and be in poor health compared to children not born in poverty. So again, it's very critical that we start now. I kind of liken working with from birth to 8 as the prevention piece of it, where we tend to focus a lot on kids in the middle schools because, we talk about education reform, it kind of starts from 9 and up because that's when we start testing and that's when we can see the results of what's happening. But all of those results that we see on standardized test scores is really coming from what's happened in that beginning of their life. How are we treating these children from the time that they're born to the time that they enter the school system and as they're learning to navigate the school system? So for me, this part of the work is really about the prevention piece of it. Other barriers that we have, which shouldn't be a surprise, is that more young Latino children do not have health insurance. So when you look at other racial and ethnic groups, Latino children by far have the highest rates of uninsurance, more than double that of white non-Hispanics and nearly double that of black non-Hispanics. So we know that a healthy child is a child that's ready to learn. But without health insurance, we know that Latino children are at increased risk for missed school days and falling behind academically. So again, a critically important piece of the puzzle. We talk a lot about the academic achievement gap. When we're looking at young Latino children, we're really talking about a school readiness gap. This here is the percent of children under age 5, really 3 to 5-year-olds, that are read to less than 3 times a week. So if you notice, the Latino rate is over 35%. And there's various reasons for that. We know that many Latino parents just have lower levels of parental education. They may not be able to read. They may not know the importance about reading to their child. So it's not a lack of desire to do it. It's a lack of information. There's programs that have worked on that and have shown great success in getting Latino parents to read to their children once they're educated about the importance of it. So this is, for me, this relates to the school readiness gap, because we know that the development in language and reading skills starts in infancy, and one of the ways that that's developed is by being read to from birth. And that recent research finds that infants learn to speak by watching parents' lips, and a child learns to read by seeing and hearing the connection between words and sounds. And Latino children are obviously starting off at a disadvantage in this area. So you couple that with the fact that nearly half of all Latino children were not in preschool or kindergarten, and what you have is that the achievement gap starts before they even enter school. One California study, for example, has documented that Latino children begin kindergarten 2 months behind white students in reading and in math. So again, I mentioned it's pretty clear that our achievement gap is a readiness gap that starts before a Latino child actually enters kindergarten. So as you see here, the ability of children to enter high-quality preschool really does have some dramatic effects on their life. We know that they'll do better in school overall. They're more likely to graduate from high school. They're less likely to be arrested, and they're more likely to they will earn more income over their lifetime than their peers who did not attend preschool. And these are all from High School Perry and many other numerous preschool studies, long-term preschool studies that have been done. So to put this all into context, NCLR did some digging into the impact of Latino children on the electorate, and they created this graph. This was looking at the age of Latino children in 2010, what their numbers were, how many were U.S. citizens, and what year they would turn 18. Essentially, what we found that overall, between 2010 and 2028, Latino children ages 0 to 17 at the time are going to add nearly 16 million potential voters to the electorate. When you look at the younger ages, the birth to 8, they actually will add at least 1.6 million more potential voters to the electorate. So again, these are children who are American citizens, who will be our future taxpayers, who will be the ones that will support the safety net, and also future voters. So briefly, so that we can get on to questions, here are a couple of policies that we know at NCLR can make a difference. Obviously, expansion of healthcare insurance. The group that has the most to gain from the expansion of healthcare through the Affordable Care Act are Latinos generally, but particularly Latino children, particularly in those states that elected for the Medicaid expansion. For example, here in Massachusetts, right in our own backyard, Massachusetts has the lowest rate of uninsurance among young Latino children. Only 1.5% of Latino children don't have health insurance. Obviously, there's expanded health insurance access here, near universal coverage. So that's something that's really important. Universal pre-K, being able to access pre-kindergarten without any regard to income is another critical factor in terms of getting children into the system and getting them ready for school. So even though states like Georgia or Oklahoma that have universal pre-K still have a lot of work to do among Latino children, the opportunities are there. And we know that with education, parental education, that they will elect to send their kids to school. A California study did show that Latino parents want to send their children to preschool. We read a lot about that Latino family doesn't want to let their kid or let their child into a center-based care, but they know the importance of getting their child ready for school. So studies have shown that. And then lastly, parental education. Latino children exist in families and they exist in communities. And so for going to better their lives, we also have to better the lives of their family. We can't send books home hoping that a parent is going to read if a parent can't read to the child. We can't send food home with a child, a book bag of food, that's great. But we also know that there's other hungry children at the home that may not be in that program, and there's hungry parents at the home. So all of these things are really connected, and an investment in holistic programs is critical to ensure that communities and families are ready to receive and ready to work with young Latino children. And then lastly, I did want to mention that this data that we pulled spans between 2008 to 2011, all primarily census and ACS data, and all of it is very centrally located on the NCLR website, or you can just literally Google Latino Kids Data Explorer, and you'll be able to find all of the ability to create these charts and gather this data that I noted earlier. And if you would like more information on children's research at NCLR, because it was noted I was former associate director at NCLR, I'm no longer there, this is the website, and my colleague's card is at the back of the on the back table, Patricia Fox, and she oversees this portfolio now and is a tremendous resource on getting access to Latino data. Thank you.